Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, welcome, welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we are in part three of our third invitation from the five invitations, discovering what death can teach us about living fully. And boy, this has been such a gift of a book. It's just every, you know, Alana was just saying, you know, I love this chapter. So we've got a lot of great things and insights that we're excited to be sharing. So I'll go ahead and get my beautiful, lovely co-host, Miss Amy. How are you doing tonight?
That was the cries of the world.
It sounds like a cow. Okay.
Well, that was a cow crying.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
The cry of the world. No judgment.
Miss Elena, how are you doing tonight?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. Getting a little rain here in Texas.
Luckily,
I'm up in Dallas. No hurricane will be hitting here. Yes. We'll just be getting some rain from it. So.
Oh, that's good.
Well,
yay.
We're praying for that, and it'll be a soft, gentle rain. That just is exactly what the earth needs. We're just going to ask for that. That'll
Absolutely.
Be a good thing.
All right, we'll hold for that.
Yeah. So the chapter starts with, if you want others to be happy, practice compassion. If you want to be happy, practice compassion. And that was from the Holiness of Dalai Lama. And I think it's something that's, you know, just with these hearing the cries of the world, is it really starts from ourselves and going out back into the world and then coming back to ourselves. So I think it's going to be an interesting conversation of, you know, looking at just looking at wisdom, compassion, and just some of the things that Frank has offered for us to be able to be looking at. So today I'm going to be doing the Flower Power Wisdom Moment with a carnation. And the carnation is an amazing flower for a lot of different reasons. It's a medicinal flower. It can do all kinds of things. You know, it can help you not lose your hair and for skin and all different kinds of wonderful things. You can also eat a carnation. It's safe to eat. So it's something that can be really beautiful. You can bring into your life and have it be something that can just be beautiful. And there pretty much is... every color you can think of, carnations come in those colors, and they're very dynamic in their color, and they're very vibrant. I just love carnations. They just do so well. You can actually take a segment of a stem of a carnation and put it in the dirt, and you can grow new carnations.
That's
so
crazy.
You know, it's crazy all the different things that it does. And in looking at it from flower wisdom, I see it as a spiraling energy, the way it moves, because it moves from the outside in, and there's little itty bitty triangles. It's a little rough edge. This, to me, reminds me of triangles. So it's all about knowing how to deal with change. And what's wonderful about sunflowers is that it says, you know, they're ones that, you know, see them as the sun, as with the sunrise, that bright, brilliant color. And just as that, you know, and then, you know, when I was looking at that, it reminded me of like a spiraling umbrella with all the different colors in it and having being something that moves. And carnation said, the shades of your soul are the shades, you know, we shade your soul from difficulties when you're dealing with change. So when you're bringing carnations into your life, it's really showing that how lovely you can be able to have these things that are moving and changing, because that's the one thing we can count on is change. And, you know, I put purposely this week on the little advertising on that, you know, basically our pre-show thing about, you know, discovering what death or change in parentheses can teach us about living fully. And, you know, there's lots of different, you know, symbolisms when it comes to death, and change is one of those things. So it just means that things are moving from one thing to another. And I think it's really something that when we look at this from just a little bit bigger perspective when it comes to, you know, how can I help people with change? How can I help myself with change? And Alana was sharing right before the show that she was really loving the fact that we were talking about being able to come and be just present with somebody and not feel like you had to do anything besides just be with them. And I think that's something that can really help people to be present in a fact that, you know, if I'm being put into a circumstances where I'm basically in front of somebody, I'm enough to just be in a place where I just want to be in love and compassion and be present for them for whatever they want to share or not share. It's perfect in the way they do those kinds of things. So, you know, play a little bit with carnations and be able to look at them. It's interesting because in France, when they're doing traditional funerals, purple is the color. So I thought that was really interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of different symbolism when it comes to carnation colors. Red has been, I've known it to be a good luck for women, but also back in the Netherlands, it was a tradition right after World War II that people would wear in remembrance of people serving, all the vets and things like that. They would wear a white carnation for remembrance. And the way they would be able to do that. And carnations have been around since the time of the Roman Empire. It's one of those flowers that has been around for over 2,000 years. So it has a very long longevity. It's the second most popular flower. You know, rose is number one, and then carnations are number two. So when you look at that and just see that it's something that's very much in our DNA, you know, it's in our cellular memory when we look at flowers like that and carnations. With its brilliant colors and then, you know, looking more softly at, you know, just the whispers of change that it encourages us to do. I think it's really a beautiful flower to be able to take that, you know, it reminds us to have the spice of life because it has a little sweetness of spice when you smell it. So it gives us a spice of life that can be very soft and sweet and energizing at the same time. So really allow yourself to be in a place where you can just take that softness of change and see the vitality and the invitation for it, that it could be soft and sweet and energizing at the same time. So that's a little bit of carnation's energy.
What kind of comes to me with the topic about, you know, hearing the cries of the world, and here on page 167, it says, we human beings are like that exquisitely unique and different, but not separate. With all our extraordinary differences, we share the same basic nature. We are part of the same vast ocean. What comes to me is the carnations that come in the spray. Is that what they call it? They're like on a branch, and there's a bunch of the little ones.
Mm-hmm. The mini carns, yeah.
And what would you call it? They would they come in a branch, a spray? What would you call that?
Probably a spray. Yeah, it's going to be growing all in the same stem. So it'd be like, you know, when you have like spray roses, where they all come from the initial stem. They spray out from that initial stem. Just like
so
that.
That's kind of what that has how the carnation kind of, yeah, melds in with this. That they all, you know, you have several that come off of the same stem.
Mhm. It's beautiful. Just all the different vibrant colors all together.
Mhm.
How about you, Elena?
Well, carnations to me have always meant elementary school, middle school, Valentine's gift, you know, and that they were always a gift, but an affordable gift, right? Something that, that like kids and families and, you know, it's like the affordable flower arrangement that everyone can afford, right? And so I love that, the kind of like how it ties to this and the fact that, you know, we all can afford to be compassionate. We can all afford to have empathy with others, you know, just that's what it's something, it doesn't cost us anything to be kind.
I love that.
Yeah, and it's something that has a lot of longevity. I love how it's such a long level of, I gave my older daughter a purple carnation about 2 weeks ago, and it still looks like, it still looks brand new.
Wow.
Yeah, and I've had customers tell me, too, that they've had carnations, like they get a dozen carnations, whatever, you know, and now you have to water them and treat them well, and, you know, that could be pulling them out and recutting the stems to make sure they're drinking. But I had one lady that took good care of hers, and they lasted over a month. So there's a lot of longevity of that, you know, and that goes into care and to, you know, being mindful about, you know, connecting to something that you appreciate. And boy, flowers are just so great about that. When you really love and appreciate having them hanging around, boy, they do their best to do that for you.
And I love how we're going to do the mindset moment here, at the end. We're really looking at, you know, other and us and the making common and spreading kindness. And he talks about here that once you really see yourself as other, that only kindness makes sense anymore. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Amy and I had an opportunity to actually hang out this last weekend together. And that's something that we really talked about, you know, what's the core thing that, you know, really makes the difference. And it's just, I would just want others to treat me as I treat them. It's as simple as that. You know, that's just that act of conscious kindness that we've talked about, and having it be something where, you know, you have this opportunity where you could, you know, just open a door, hold the door for somebody, or smile at someone. You know, there's all these ways that we connect with people every day, and we can do it in a mindful way or do it in a, you know, mindless way, depending on what we're doing. We're just hearing those cries of the world, and what does that look like when people are engaging with us and, you know, where they just are in that present moment.
And something that I want to address and talk to is when you're caring people like we are, like our listeners are, we're seekers, we're people who care, that if you're not careful, you can get compassion overload. And because, oh my goodness, right, you turn on the news and there's just so many people that need help in so many directions, that if you're not careful to be compassionate with yourself, and making sure that you're doing things to take care of yourself. I'm not saying I'm more important than you, but I need to be at least equal. And I need to make sure that mm-hmm. I'm putting, you know, that compassion, that empathy with myself as I share with others.
Well, and Frank talks about that where, you know, each wave is distinct yet not separate, and all parts of the mm-hmm. same ocean. The ocean is one big body, and the waves are its individual expressions. And I think that's perfectly in the way of, you know, looking at things like that. So how about you, Alana?
Oh, yeah, I love that part, too. I was good at this. The part about the ocean waves was really reminded me of a man that I met in Avila Beach, California. His name is Van Carraza, and he runs a charity called Operation Surf. And his philosophy is about they help veterans, especially people who have been disabled, either loss of limb or you know, just whatever it is. They, you know, someone who's having struggles comes to them and they learn to surf. And he talked about how, and I just love the way that his philosophies are so amazing that he, you know, if you look on Netflix, there's a special called Surfacing that was on his program. And it talks about how, he says the ocean offers multiple chances to start over again, you know, and, that with each wave, we get a new chance to succeed, right. Or to gain confidence, to become better. And so I just thought about that, too. About this just reminded me of the way that he stands as a witness with these veterans and helps them through the struggles that they have, you know, just being there, teaching them a skill, you know, being part of the ocean with them, you know, and giving them chance after chance to succeed. And I just thought about his compassion. That paragraph in here just really made me think of Van and how appreciative I am of what he does.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
I saw a new neon sign today that said, "Be open to seeing life differently," and differently was upside down, going the opposite, different. It was upside down. And I love that. I was like, "Oh, differently, okay."
Be surfing inside
neon
the world,
signs.
Man.
I thought it was really cool. Yeah, this lighted idea that was different. You know, that kind of thing. So
I think
that's part of like what's going on with the whole COVID thing. It's helping us and the invitation to be able to see with new eyes about things.
And I wanted to talk about how Frank had, you know, I just love how he's so open and vulnerable and really shares from his own heart and experience. And here in 174, he talks about, at the height of my hospice work, many people died in the course of a week. At times when grief was so overwhelming, I did three things. I made a point of getting regular body work. I regularly, often spending the better part of the session crying on the table. I regularly returned to my meditation cushion and practices that stabilized my attention, regulated my emotional states, and cultivated pro-social qualities like loving kindness. and I would visit my nurse friends who worked in the unit of General Hospital caring for babies who were born to addicted mothers. I sit in a rocking chair and hold the babies and rock them to sleep. And so finding what nurtures your soul. Not a, it's great to get massages, but it's like really he said he got the massage, but he also allowed his emotions to come out. So it's finding that mm-hmm. where you can mind, body, and spirit feeding your soul.
Mm-hmm. That was really wise of him. He knew that that was such an important thing to be able to do that for himself because he was able to give that back to others.
Yeah, just think of, like, you know, I mean, who doesn't want to love and hold on, rock a newborn baby, you know, and just,
right?
When you're dealing with so much death, to see beautiful life, you know, mm-hmm. to see some new life come in there. Kind of, it even goes back to one of the first chapters. I'm trying to, if y'all can help refresh my memory, when he talks about that's how he wanted, he learned about death to prepare for the birth of his son.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, mm-hmm. Good Frank. He just comes full circle all the time, doesn't he?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Again, that vulnerability in his stories just really brings everything home.
Yeah.
And I think one of the most important parts that I really want to spend some time and then doing our mindset moment will help you bring this really into your life. But in 177, he talks about radical connectedness and that there are two levels of compassion, basically. And the first being the universal compassion. And he talks about it being an innate and essential aspect of existence. And says that the universal compassion is the foundation of all healing, an underlying source of benevolence and caring. And the everyday compassion, where it's you feel that compassion and you put it into action somewhere in, you know, your life, in the lives of other people around you. And I just feel like this is probably one of the most important times in history to really come together, be that spray, right, of carnations and, you know, support people that you're called to support in action, in whatever action that looks like for you.
Yeah, that's so good. So good. You know, just, you know, when people hear that and go, yeah, that sounds great, but, you know, how do I do that? You know, what would be steps in making myself, you know, coming from that universal place and then also coming from an everyday compassion? Do you have any suggestions for that, Amy?
Yeah, I'll do the meditation practice to help you do that. But I used to be the national training director for the Nonprofit Sector Foundation. And what we did was we brought profits and nonprofits together. And so what I did all day long was talk to people about what is that you care about, what, you know, veterans, animals, trees, whatever the cause is, I don't really care what it is. It's unique to you. I think we all have a heart dream. We have a calling, and it may not be just one group. It could be helping youth at risk. It doesn't really matter. And, well, you know what a great example, Martin Root in his work, Heaven on Earth, and I can't think of the exact three questions right now, but, you know, what is heaven on earth to you, and mm-hmm. what step are you going to take towards creating that heaven on earth, you know, where whatever it could be, teachers are getting emotional support, you know, what could you do is maybe, you know, start a chain of ways to help them feel supported.
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling overwhelmed right now with everything changing over, that's for sure. All these
so
moms
Alana,
at home trying to
you.
Do home homeschooling, yeah.
Yeah, so Alana, for you, what is one way that you take universal compassion? If there's a better way to explain this, please take a dive at it. That, you know, that love of, you know, God love, really, if that's how it makes sense to me, and put that into action in your life. I know you do it all the time. What are some ways that you do it?
Gosh, well, I don't know. I mean, what's heavy on my heart today is, you know, the work that I do to help bring awareness to suicide prevention and mental health issues.
Yes. Beautiful. Would you mind talking about that a little bit, however is safest for you right now?
Yeah, sure. So today is the fourth anniversary of one of my son's best friends from middle school. His sophomore year, Christian took his life, had died by suicide. And, you know, ever since then, we've really worked hard to, you know, help address the issue, you know, things that lead to suicide, you know, loneliness, depression, you know, home insecurity, financial insecurity, you know, things in the world that that lead people to think there's no way out, that there's not another way to go in life. And so that's been that's what Tiny Houses is about. That's what veterans work is about for me. You know, that's what, you know, just being, just even, you know, the work that I do, helping people get their message out, giving them that financial security, you know, things like everything I do tends to point towards helping someone have hope in their life. And so and living a life that's well lived. And so, I mean, that's the work I do. So, I mean, I'll shamelessly plug that in November, I'm doing a donation drive right now for, I'm trying to raise $500. That's it for the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention. On November 7th, we're doing a walk in remembrance of Christian. And so that's been really, that's how, like, one thing that's happened has just rippled out into an amazing effect in the community here, is that we have this large, extremely large walk now that we're, you know, tons of people come out. I can't say the number. I don't know what the number is, but we raised, I think our goal this year is $50,000, and I'm pretty sure we'll meet it. You know, that's where before it was just like, we just hoped that we could get $5,000 or $1,000, you know, donated. And
or
so,
did somebody show up, right? That just somebody would show up, you know, regardless of money.
Yes, exactly. Right? Yes, if just somebody would just show up. Yes. And so now this whole community comes out, a neighborhood that has donated their neighborhood each year, and the pavilions out there. So, and then local businesses chip in for food. You know, they serve everybody breakfast. I mean, it turns into an amazing community event, but also it really brings healing to the community. Yes. And so that's just one of the ways, or that's just really truly one of the biggest
that is a myriad of ways, right, that you do.
Started
someplace, right? And I want to comment too here on 179. It talks about compassion requires we get in touch with what hurts. Eagle wants to be protected from pain. Compassion opens to pain, where you could all could have just silently just said, nope, we're not dealing with this. But you allowed yourself, and you're like, you're doing today. You're allowing yourself to feel this pain, and thank you for sharing that with us. You didn't have to.
Yes.
By you sharing your pain with us, it helps us to open up to, wow, what does that mean for me? And how can I be part of that compassionate wave, you know, that's flowing?
Mm-hmm.
Really honor you for that, because for many years, suicide was a dirty word. We didn't say it.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're talking about it, and we're having conversations, and we're openly talking about the pain on all sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I mean, you can tell immediately when someone, I mean, at least I can, whenever it's, you know, someone's posted on social media why someone has passed away. If it's a car wreck, they say they died in a car wreck. If they say, you know, if it's cancer, they say it was cancer. But if it was suicide, nobody knows how they died, you know? And so we address it, the better off we are. So.
A very close friend of mine, she was having lots of health challenges, and I did not know until many years later what she actually died, you know, at the end there was from by suicide.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm glad I didn't know until years later, because I don't know if I could have dealt with it then.
Right. Suicide's one of the most confusing, right? It's one of the most confusing ways that we see people die. It just boggles the mind. People don't know how to process that. And so as we learn how to process it, as we learn how to help prevent it, as we help that, all that will heal together. So
absolutely. Well, survivor's guilt, there's so much attached to that. I should have done this. I should have known. There's so many parts of that. And so that's one way. How beautiful is that? That's a beautiful example of taking universal compassion and putting feet to it, literally, right? Having a
yes.
walk.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, literally. And we'll make sure that if you go over to our Facebook Transformation Cafe page, there will be information if anybody wants to do any donating with that.
Yes.
Or I have, and when I have more information, go over to our Facebook Transformation Cafe page. That'll be awesome.
Perfect. All right, are you ready
for
the mindset moment?
Yeah, let's mindset it, man.
So what I want you to do right now is imagine a person that you may be challenged with right now. I know that may be a stretch for all of us, but let's just imagine somebody that we're challenged with, all right? Take a nice deep breath. You don't have to say this out aloud. You can say it in your mind or just kind of hold with what as I read it for you. This person has a body, heart, and mind just like me. This person worries and gets frightened just like me. This person is trying their best to navigate life just like me. This person is a fellow human being just like me. So just kind of sit with that. Be in compassion for yourself. Be in compassion for this person. Now what we're going to do is we're from that loving space. We're gonna send some wishes for well-being to arise for this particular person right now and yourself simultaneously. May this person have the strength and support to face the difficulties in life. May this person be free from suffering and its causes. May this person be peaceful and happy. May this person be loved. Let's take a nice deep breath in, feeling that love, sending that love out. Now I'm going to come back to this, and what we're going to do is we're going to imagine, we're going to replace this person with our community, and we're going to send that love, we're going to receive that love and send that love to start with a specific person. Now we're going to move it out to our cities and our states and our country and our world. May these people have the strength and support to face the difficulties in life. May these people be free from suffering and its causes. May these people be peaceful and happy. May these people be loved. So let's take some nice deep breaths, breathing in love and sending out love. Now, as you're in the space of love, what I want you to do is to think about, is there something that's coming to your heart? Is there a heart dream that you're compassionate, that universal compassion is calling to you to maybe take a step? Certainly, you can donate to this cause that Alana has brought up. Certainly, you can do that. You can look in your life and say, what are some areas that compassion is calling to me that I can take a simple action? All we're asking for is simple actions. Maybe is it you call somebody and check in. Maybe you send them a dinner. It doesn't have to be big. And it can be you just sit and you pray like we're doing right now, sending love. But make sure you're also receiving love. So that's what I want you to think about is how are you going to take this universal compassion, this big, vast ocean, and turn it into an everyday action. And if you just did one little everyday action every day, I think you'd feel better. I think the people around you would feel better. Let's end with that quote from the Dalai Lama. If you want others to be happy, practice compassion. If you want to be happy, practice compassion. Nice deep breath in and out. Bring us home, Robin.
Okay, with this wonderful chapter, this is how Frank tied it up in a nice pretty bow. And he says, compassion is what enables us to come close to suffering, to know through intimacy. We get that close, the illusion of I and other falls away. We know ourselves to be part of the web of mutuality. Wisdom shows us that the small, bounded sense of separate self that we have taken ourselves to be is no more than a limiting story.
but separation falls away, we recognize that we are everything. Being everything, compassion is simply an appropriate response, the natural way to serve and love what is really our whole selves and to express its freedom. I just thought that is so great. So just really, I really encourage people to go back and do the mindful moment. I think I something like that is like, you know, type it out and maybe put it in a little frame and kind of have it in your home somewhere where you can look at it and have it be an occasional thing that you look at to remind yourself. That's a great bathroom quote.
There you go.
I'm in the bathroom and I'm doing my mindful moment. There we go. Yeah, my mindful moment. Excellent. It works out really good. So thank you, ladies.
Thank you. It was beautiful. Love you. Love me.
Love you too. And look forward to next week. We're going to be starting the fourth invitation. It's finding a place to rest in the middle of things. And boy, I think that's going to be such a great lesson of, you know, what we've been having to work with for the last few months. And I think it'll be something we can embrace and have some great insights. So I look forward to that as well. It's going to be something great with all that. So.
Thank you. Y'all have a
great
day.
Great job.
Thank you. All right, guys, you guys have a great week, and we'll see you soon, and take care. And thank you, everybody, going over to our Facebook page and continuing the conversation.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.